Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits.
Okay.
I just want to emphasize, but the people, that's you and me, who know their God, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Let it produce what you desire it to produce in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We have been talking about Old Testament man of faith, Gideon. And we have been looking at his story in Judges chapter 6 and 7 primarily. And I like Gideon a lot because I can identify with him a bit. I think most of us can find ourselves in parts of this story, and we can say, yeah, I can relate to that. And yet, part of it, you just think is so mind-blowing that you're like, God, why did you take Gideon's 32,000-man army and dwindle it all the way down to 300? I mean, God, why in the world would you do that? It's because God knows human human nature is to take credit for things. Human nature likes to figure everything out, plan it all out, rather than trust, rely, and truly know God. And in this church, that's our desire, is that every one of you would know God better, because we've come together, we've opened his word, and we have allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Mm-hmm. That's how God works. He works in our midst. He speaks to your heart, and he brings strength to you when you draw up close. Now, the word that just keeps going over and over in my spirit since last week, as I prayed for you, and I prayed each one of you by name this week, as I have prayed for you, and I've prayed in the Holy Ghost, because I don't know exactly always what to pray. Some of you I know, because you have shared with me some of your personal stories and some of your personal things that you are trusting God for and believing God for. But when I don't know, Romans tells us that you can pray in other tongues. So I pray in other tongues for you. And as I pray in other tongues, your face comes up before me. And some of you, that's your face comes up before me, and I'm just praying in other tongues.
Hallelujah.
Because I don't know what I'm praying for.
Thank you, Jesus.
But my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is praying. And that's what Romans 8 teaches us, and the Apostle Paul speaks to us about that also in 1 Corinthians. So in the story of Gideon, we left off last week where now Gideon is down to 300 men. And he is facing the onslaught of the enemy. And perhaps there are moments in your life where you felt like that. Where you felt like, I am part of 300 and I don't know how we're going to face the giant in the land or the enemy's army. Now, just to kind of refresh your memory, if you remember, God takes those 32,000 and he says, listen, if you're afraid, if there's any fear in you, go home. I like to put it this way, and if you're taking notes, I didn't put it this way last week, but this came to me and I thought it was kind of funny and it might help you remember. You need to fumigate fear out of your life. When you fumigate something, that means you drive the critters out, right?
Yes.
When you fumigate something to get rid of bugs, to get rid of that you, or even a bad smell, what do? You fumigate it.
Yes.
You get rid of it. You could say, flush fear.
Yes.
You could say, flush it. Why don't we say that out loud? Flush it!
Flush it.
Jesus.
So you're flushing fear, you're fumigating fear, you're getting it out. And one of the things that Gideon does is he's listening to God, and God tells him, too many people. Too many people, because if if they were to win, they would think they did it. Now, in our lives as believers, now I'm not one who tells you that God sends bad things your way to teach you lessons. You won't hear me say that, because I don't believe that. I don't believe God sends sickness to teach you a lesson. I don't believe God sends calamity to teach you a lesson. I do believe that when those things come, if we'll put our trust in Him, He will use it to make you stronger. Okay? He will use those circumstances, those situations you're in, to make you stronger and to allow you to draw up close. Now, the word that just keeps running over and over since last week is lean in. So if you are listening to a story, and I think I said this last week, if you're listening to a story, sometimes if it's an exciting story, what do? You kind of get on the edge of your chair and your body language says, okay, I want to hear more. Tell me more. You make eye contact with the person telling the story, right? Your body language is open. Your body language is open, saying, yeah, I'm ready to receive this. I'm ready to receive this. If we would have that posture with our Heavenly Father, the people who know their God do mighty exploits. When you know Him, you want to hear Him. When you hear Him, He wants you to obey Him. When you know Him, you can hear Him. When you hear Him, He wants you to obey. When you know Him, you hear Him. When you hear Him, He wants you to obey. And you go, yeah, that's pretty simple, right? Well, we're the ones who make it complex. We're the ones who have an argument with God. Or we say things like a couple weeks ago when I said, God mentioned He wanted me to minister out of Matthew. And I said, but God, we're talking about Gideon. You know what His answer was to me? It was crickets. There was no answer. Because God was like, it just took me right back to the verse in Matthew. And I was like, but God, we're talking about Gideon. And the Lord was like, no. He didn't even have to say no. Right? Instead, I was just, Matthew chapter 8. Okay. Then, well, when you know Him, you hear Him. My sheep hear my voice. They don't follow the voice of another. Hearing God is not rocket science. It's just that we haven't leaned in. We haven't taken the time. We live in a very busy, noisy world. Super busy, super noisy, and it is distraction factor big time. And if you are easily distracted, and join the club, I think most people are. Most people are. Then you need to find the time to hear Him. When you hear Him, He wants you to obey.
That's right.
So we know Him, that means we hear Him, right?
That's right.
When we hear Him, we obey Him. That's... and. Not in some austere, God's going to get you for that mentality. No. What God speaks to you is for your benefit. When He tells us to live a certain way, it's for your benefit. When He tells you to say no to your flesh on certain things, it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It's not for His benefit. Right? It's for yours. When we live a holy, righteous life, that's for our benefit. That's not for His. We don't have to work up our salvation. He paid the price. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that he paid the price? I am. Man, because where would I be? I'd be a grease spot on the ground somewhere.
That's right, that's right.
Nobody is good enough. But Jesus. And Jesus is good enough. And when I've got Jesus, then I've got everything I need. Hallelujah. So we need to fumigate the fear out of our lives. The second thing that I thought was interesting is when, and we read this last week, when Gideon, by the Spirit of the Lord, was told by God, take this army of yours that's left, 12,000 at that point, and go over, you can do the math, go over to this particular brook and have the men drink water. Well, now, this army is thirsty. And where this brook is located, I've never been to Israel, so I only know this from my study, that it's located in a particular spot. It's still there today. By the way, most things that you read in the Word of God, they're just now even discovering certain things that prove Scripture was right and accurate.
Yes. Yep.
And, I mean, where years ago they'd say, oh, we don't even know if that particular place exists. And now they're finding these places. And they're like, oh, yeah, the Bible must be right. Isn't that interesting? So they find the specific brook that's there, the brook Herod, and it's there. It's not King Herod. It's called Herod. And that brook was there, and that's where the men drank water. And God speaks to Gideon and tells him, watch how the men drink. And those that lap like a dog, and those that just cup the water. Now, it's interesting to me that I find this fascinating. Yes. God is so detailed. Mm-hmm. And he knows what he's doing. Yes. And, you know, Gideon might not have chosen this way. In fact, Gideon probably would have went to war with 32,000. Mm-hmm. And if you or I were in charge, we'd probably go to war with 32,000, right? The more the better. Mm-hmm. The more the merrier. Yep, we've got to go and beat this enemy who's beating us up day after day, year after year, season after season, pulling up our crops and hurting our people. So we might say, let's go to battle with them. And let's hope that God helps us. But Gideon is a different kind of man. Remember, in the beginning part of Judges, God speaks through the angel to Gideon, says, you mighty man of valor, and tells him, and he doesn't feel like a mighty man of valor. And maybe you felt like that before. God is speaking to some of you because there's a champion that lives on the inside of you. And he's wanting that champion to come out. He's wanting that courageous man, that courageous woman to come out and open your mouth. The people who know their God will do mighty exploits. They're strong. They're courageous. They're the ones who make a difference. Right? And that's part of the church vision. Is that as we know God, as we find freedom in those things that stop us and that trip us up time and time again, whether it's a habit or an addiction or something in our lives that keeps us back, God wants you free.
Amen.
How do we get free? The truth. The truth of God's Word, the Holy Spirit, working God's Word in our lives, coming together, and you might have a piece to help set somebody else free. That's why it's important to be a part and to be a part of a community of faith, to be a part of a place where you can, like we did today, pray one for another so that we can be strengthened. So that I've got something going on, you pray for me. You've got something going on, I pray for you. Mm-hmm. You know, some of our leaders called us this week and they had a situation they needed us to pray about. Mm-hmm. Pastor Christine and I both got on the phone, we prayed about it, mm-hmm. right? That's what being brothers and sisters and part of the body of Christ is all about. It's not just coming and listening to a good message. I mean, I do my best to try to give that to you, but that's not all this is. This is is locking arms one with another. It is serving one another. It is hearing from God, and maybe even you having a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody else, or a connection for somebody else that would help them in whatever situation that they're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Jesus.
The body of Christ works when we work it.
Yes.
When we make it just mere religion, it doesn't work. Then people get hurt and that's it. Right? We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a life-giving, life-changing community of faith that comes together and sees not only that we know God better, not only that we are free, but that we discover we have purpose. We've got gifts that we bring to the table that cause the body to grow, cause the body to increase as each member does its part. The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians that there is increase in the body as each member does its part. So what is that? That's discovering purpose. Discovering purpose is, I've got a purpose that might be greater than myself. I've got a purpose that you are created for and only you can do. Because God created you, knew you in your mother's womb, knitted you, fashioned you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Gifts inside of you for such a time as this. This is not the time to sit back and say, well, you know what, I paid my dues. This is not the time to do that. It's not the time to say, well, you know, when I was first saved, I did this. No, no, no. We need you. We need you. The kids need you. The ones God wants to send here. The youth need you. The ones God wants to send here. The seniors need you.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
The married couples need you. You say, well, I'm not married. God still needs you. Because you have words to say, things to bring about. Now, not only are we to fumigate fear. Why? Because fear is one of those things that will hinder you. Fear is one of those things that will rob you. It'll rob you of God's best. It's not, you know, sometimes people say, well, fear is the opposite of faith. Well, yes and no. But going back to God specifically telling Gideon, watch how the men drink so that I can show you what to do. So he separates the men who drink and lap like dogs and don't care about anything else that's going on around them. And those that cup the water, aware of what's happening. You'll understand why in just a moment. So, this is what I want you to remember about that specific part of the story. We read it last week. But let's go ahead and read it in Judges. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. You can go with me if you would. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 7. Hallelujah. I'll give you a moment to get there. I had it on my electronic Bible. Judges. Chapter 7. I think it's important that you see what's going on in this story of Gideon. So, verse 1 says, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was north of them, or north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now, this is when God spoke to him, told him, hey, there's too many. But then, in verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you'll set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lap, and putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. Wow. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the people go, every man to his place. Wow. God just fired most of Gideon's army. And the ones who were more concerned about their appetite and what their flesh needed than what God was asking them to do. The ones who were more concerned about their physical comfort than what God was asking them to do. God was asking them to do something that required faith. It required trust in an almighty God that only God could have done it. And only God would get the credit.
Yes.
Right? Say, I know him.
I know him.
I hear him.
I hear him.
And I obey him. Hallelujah. So now he's got 300 men. And God understands, and I told you this the last 2 weeks. I told you God understands when we wrestle with doubt and unbelief. Now, he doesn't give you a pass, but he understands in those moments. And sometimes we can have, and I love what Joyce Meyer says, we can have faith in our heart to do something, obey God and do something because we know God has told us to. But we might be struggling with some fear in our mind, right? Remember, we've got to flush fear out. Yeah. How do we flush fear out? We renew our mind with the Word of God. That's the easiest way. Now, I'm not saying it is easy. That's the easiest way, is what I'm trying to say. Right? It still takes us to renew our minds by the Word of God and to trust that the way God thinks is much better than the way Doug thinks. Much, much better. Much better, right? And no matter how smart you are, no matter how great you are at something, it is God through his word that can help you. Just recently, I was with a group of pastors, and we got to hear David Green. David Green is a billionaire. He's a billionaire Christian businessman who refuses to compromise. David Green spoke to us and told us, you know, sometimes God tells you to do things that don't make sense in the business world. Like, we're not going to be open on Sundays. He's built an empire of stores, and they're not open on Sundays. All of his competitors are open on Sunday. I just read a news piece, that one of his competitors actually just went bankrupt. And his stores are actually thriving where they're opening more. How does that happen? When you listen to God. When you listen to God. You might feel like David facing Goliath. You might feel like Gideon facing the Midianites. And it looks like I'm going to lose. And I got 300 men. And how in the world am I going to make it? How in the world am I going to make it? It doesn't make sense, God. But then God says, just trust me. It's a trust thing. So, as I was preparing for today, we're back to these men and how God separates them and how some of them were so consumed with their flesh, they didn't realize that the enemy, the Midianites, could see them in a vulnerable spot drinking water. The enemy could see them. And the ones who were aware, who cupped the water in their hands, were aware that they could be spotted by the enemy. They were aware they could be attacked at any moment. And God chose those men because those men knew we could be attacked at any moment. I am aware of my surroundings. Church, the Word of God tells us in the New Testament that we are in a warfare. You are in a warfare. If you are a soldier in battle, you are not consumed with just your own stuff. You're in a warfare. You are actually in a warfare, and you know that your enemy could catch you off guard. The word tells us that he seeks whom he may devour. He's looking for the one who's off by himself, who's not connected. He's looking for the one who has no Christian fellowship. He's looking for the one who has no church. They might be believers, but has no church. He's looking for that one, because that one he's going to try to attack. That one he's going to try to take out. That's the one that he's going to try to trip up. In John chapter 10, it says, "The thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." When you understand that God is doing his best to get good things to you, say, "I know him. I hear him, and I obey him." So we see what happens. Now, Gideon understands. He understands what God is trying to get him to do. And yet, God still understands that maybe Gideon needs a little bit of confirmation. Have you ever needed confirmation for something?
Yes.
You're like, "God, I think you want me to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure 100%. Mm-hmm. I want to obey you, God. But I'm not 100% sure." Right? Is that ever happened to you? Okay, well, I'm talking to the right people. Okay. So, God is so gracious. He understands when we're wrestling with stuff. And so he tells him, he says, "Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go down and basically spy on the enemy." And it says this, verse 7, "Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By 300 men who lapped, I will save you. I will deliver Midianites into your hand. Let the other people go, every man to his place.' So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands." They all had trumpets. I think that's interesting. Remember? Trumpets announce the presence of God. It invokes the presence of God. And I asked you this week, what was God going to ask you to bring the presence of God into your own world? I asked you that last week. When you invoke God's presence, you bring it. And you don't bring it just by being quiet in the corner. You bring it by praying. You bring it by knowing that you're in a battle. You bring it when you say, "Devil, you have no place in this situation. I command you to get out."
Yes.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Says to him, "Go down to the camp that I've delivered it to you. But if you're afraid," aren't you glad God understands sometimes? "But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you'll hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. So basically, they're going to go and eavesdrop. They're going to go and try to listen. This is early spying, by the way. And so they go, and they're probably, I can just imagine, they're in the bushes somewhere. And now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore. Gideon has 300 men. This is crazy. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent, struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion said to him, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. When God gives you that confirmation, you go back to him. And you say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that confirmation. I needed that. You knew it. And you're so good to me. You gave it to me. Lord, you know our weaknesses. You know when we tend to want to trust in what we can do, what we can figure out. Oh, I've got to figure this out. I'm on a timeline. You don't understand. It's so much pressure. If we would just give it to God. Watch what happens. So, now he's strengthened. And what does he do? He goes back and he opens his mouth to the 300, by the way. And he says this. He says, so he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside of the pitchers. This is kind of an odd request, but God's specific, right?
Yes.
And he said to them, look at me. I want you to get this today because this is so good. When God kind of showed this to me, I was like, wow, I've never seen that. I had read this many times in the 40 years of ministry and 50 years of walking with God. And I have to tell you, I've never seen this. And he says this, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say this, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. That means in the middle of the night, by the way. And just as they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the 300 companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Then the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Acacia, toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabbath. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, all of Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, seize from them the watering places, as far as Bethbera and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together, seized the watering places, as far as Bethbera and the Jordan. They captured two princes of the Midianites. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb. Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. And they pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. In other words, they defeated the enemy real good, as we say in the South. They defeated the enemy. But they didn't do it themselves. They did it with God. So how does this apply to me, Pastor? What can I do to take this home with me? Well, You got to flush fear. You got to flush it. You got to fumigate it out of your life. Don't feed fear.
That's right.
Don't feed fear. Instead, you need to foster focus. Foster focus. These 300 men had to do something very, very specific, didn't they? And I came up with this just as I was preparing it, and it at first I was like, really? Okay, God, here it goes. Look at me. Do. Watch. Do. Blow. Say. That was the specific instruction Gideon gave those 300 men. In other words, he said, look at what I'm doing. Then you do it. Mm-hmm. Watch what I do. Then you do it. Blow the trumpet. And then say what I say. Wow. There was great power in that. You see, the focus that these 300 men had was incredible. First of all, they're going up against two armies formed into one. And I can imagine the kind of torches that they had were typically, they were hewed out of tree branches. And they had perhaps olive oil, like some kind of cloth wrapped in twine. In olive oil, and they had these clay jars, these containers, and they had to carry them, and they had to go find them, and they had only 300 of them, but Gideon tells them specifically what to do with it. You've got to have a focus this week. You've got to have a focus, and I don't know who that's for. Somebody has to have a focus. I'm going to take it for me. You've got to have a focus to hear why I know him. Amen. I hear him.
Hallelujah.
I obey him. You've got to focus, and you've got to feed that focus, because you've got to look, do, watch, do, blow, say, in order to be focused. You've got to do what he says do. One of my prayers earlier in my ministry and my Christian life was, God, if you whisper my name in the middle of a crowded place, I want to hear you. I want to hear you in the middle of a crowd. In the middle of a stadium that everybody might be yelling for the Yankees or whoever your favorite team is, I want to be able to hear God say something. Leave.
Right. Come on. That's powerful.
He might tell you to do something like that. I've heard some pretty amazing stories. We won't go there. So what was this? This represented, what was the torch? It symbolized light. What was the torch inside of a glass jar? Well, the Apostle Paul, he let us know in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we have the treasure in jars of clay. Light. Light coming to live on the inside of you. No longer darkness, but light. And at just the right time, Gideon broke those jars, and the light of God drove out the darkness of the enemy. The light of God drove out the darkness of the enemy. And the trumpet was announcing God's presence in that situation. In that day, these trumpets were used to call men of war, to call people to worship, and there was a very clear sound. Some of the longer ones have a much more rich, robust sound, and some of them, these smaller ones, have that higher pitched sound. But there was calls that were used to communicate and to announce God's presence. So the enemy did not know what to do. The light came through, and human weakness will always surrender to God's power.
Hallelujah.
It will. The enemy has to go.
Yes.
The enemy has to go.
That's right.
And if you don't believe me that light makes darkness flee, light a match. And scientists tell us that from space they can see that match. Light continues to travel at the speed of light. Wow. Thousands and thousands and thousands of miles per second. It is incredible. And God is still doing incredible things. The trumpet is a mark of victory. It is a way of saying, listen, with God you're going to win. This week, I want you just to say it over your life. Just say it over your life. Say, I know him.
I know him.
I hear him. And I obey him. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Some lessons from Gideon, Old Testament man of faith. Next week I got another one. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you're calling us as a church and as individuals to come up. There's a champion that lives on the inside of each one of us, Father. You're calling us up. You're calling us up. You're calling us to lean in. You want to speak as only you can. Father, I pray right now, Lord, if there be anybody in here who's just struggling in their life to know you better. They're struggling in the area of freedom. They're struggling in the area of finding purpose in their life. They're struggling in the area of making a difference. Father, I pray right now that anyone in this congregation or somebody who might be watching this at a later time or right now, Father, I pray that if they're in this place, God, that they would find that still small voice that you are speaking to them. Because they know you. They know you. And Lord, they hear you and they obey you. So Father, thank you right now. You're helping your people to know you better. To know you better. To hear you clearer. To announce your presence in those dark spots in their life, maybe. Causing the enemy to flee. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed. Right now, if you're in this congregation and you want me, I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? I want everybody just to kind of keep your eyes closed, your head down at this point. And you want me to pray for you because something in the message today, maybe you feel stuck on something. Stuck on knowing him better. Stuck on finding freedom. Stuck finding purpose. Or making a difference. If that's you and you want me to pray for you, I want to do it this way. Everybody, and I'm really serious about this. Just keep your head down. And I want you to just slowly, I'm going to be scanning the congregation. I want you just to look and make eye contact with me. Lift your head up, open your eyes, and make eye contact with me. Say, that's me. Pray for me. I'm just going to scan. I got you. Anybody else? I'm scanning the main section right now. Praise God. If you want prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. That's not what God told me to do. I want you to look and connect with my eyes. Anybody else? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm on this side of the room. I got you. I'm scanning over to my right, your left. If you want prayer, I want you to, so I know. Your face has come up before me during the week, so
hallelujah.
I know. So I'll know that I'm praying for you in this arena. I'm looking. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these right now. Lord, they hear you because they know you. They know you and they hear you. just like the horn is crystal clear, that they would hear you and they would know to obey you. And Father, if they're wrestling in an area of not sure, give them the confirmation that they need to step forth in that battle, in that situation, by faith. That they would fumigate fear out of their life. They would fuel faith and focus in their life. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for provision. I thank you for, as steps are made along the way, Lord, that you open the doors, you make clear the path as they walk through it in Jesus' name. While your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you're watching online and you need to know him, it's real simple. The Bible tells us, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we just believe in our heart and confess Jesus with our mouth, the Bible tells us we'll be saved. So if that's you, you're here in this place, or perhaps you want to recommit your life to Jesus, just slip up your hand. I do want you to do that as an act of faith. Is there anybody who would want to recommit your life to Christ? Or you want to be born again? Anybody else? All right. Praise God. We're going to pray out loud for those that might be watching online and they want to know, how do I become a Christian? Pray this prayer not in some religious rote way, but mean it in your heart. As we speak these words, say them out loud. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to know, message us on the Facebook Messenger app. We'd love to hear about how Christ came into your life. We'd like to help you and send some things to you, so please do that. Let's stand together as we have our sending out verse. And if you desire prayer, maybe along the lines that I've been ministering, something came up in you and you want more specific agreement prayer, I'm going to just be available to after service to pray for those of you that just need a little extra ministry in that arena. But let's say that our sending out verse right now, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We will see you next time.